Hello, hello, hello. Welcome along to this week's preview show, where we don't have an awful lot to talk about, so we'll probably scrape our way to half an hour discussing who might play at right back on Saturday or something. Obviously, that's the intro I would have loved to have gone with, but it's never a dull moment at Cambridge United, and this week has been so eventful, it's led to a three-man preview pod. Unprecedented scenes, Jordan Warland. How are you?
I'm hugely disappointed, Julian. Not because of this whole not because of this whole Neil Harris affair, but because there's nothing more that I enjoy than a one-on-one Julian Thursday night pod to have a little preview. Probably not talk too much about actual football, but you know, ask you about your Italy holiday and maybe make a few jokes about Borough. But instead, our date night has been gate crashed by a raging Tom Walker Bull who looks like he's about to charge you down as the matador that you are, with a red flag with Neil Harris's face on it.
He's been in the WhatsApp chats all day, haven't you, Tom? Itching to start recording.
I'm up for this, I'll be honest. The weird thing is, Posh is very much an afterthought for me at the moment, which I imagine it is for a lot of people. Yeah, sorry about that, Jordan. Obviously, I'm very much third wheel in here, but hopefully I can make up for it through content.
As you always do, Tom. You always deliver. You're like the postman. You always deliver, mate. Mm. Well, okay. Look, we're pretty good at putting running orders together and trying to sort of map out the points we're going to make before every pod. But I think this week, carrying on from the sort of raw nature of the emergency pod that me and Caspel put together yesterday, we're sort of treating it as a bit of a round table with two voices that haven't had a say yet. God, Tom, let's start with you, mate.
You said earlier you prepared a script, so I can't wait for this.
It's not a script.
It is. I'll firstly start with you two yesterday. I think you guys articulated my feeling of shock very well, and we'll start that with we'll swap that in for the purposes of this, for the first stage of grief, which is of course denial. And yeah, in the time that's passed, it's fair to say I've very much moved to stage two, which is anger. So we're there now.
And you're gonna skip bargaining, right? You're not gonna beg for him back.
No, absolutely fucking not. And do you know what? I'll preface everything I'm saying. I think you guys brought it up yesterday, and it's something that's obviously been talked about a lot since, by saying that, like, I totally understand this from Neil Harris's perspective. Mm. I totally understand why he would make this move. We obviously don't need to kind of recap all the reasons, but it's a pretty obvious fit for loads of reasons, and obviously to move up in terms of the level that he's managing at, and obviously, you know, presumably financially as well. There's a massive bold word "but" about to follow here, and I was trying to think of the way to kind of articulate all this and kind of really put my thoughts across, and I think the best way to do it really is to look at it kind of chronologically in terms of what's happened really in the last 4 months, and ironically given Saturday's opponents, I'll start with the away game at Bosch. You know, obviously a few weeks before Harris joined the football club, but that's the start of the chain reaction that led to Mark Bonner leaving, which you know, was obviously then followed by a game at Northampton, which you guys, when you spoke to Neil Harris and you were sat in the Portland Arms discussing all things future and all things planning with him, you asked him about that, and you asked him if he was there, to which he said he wasn't there, and a lot of people were of the impression that he was. So I remember hearing that and being a bit like, that's quite strange. Why would he deny being at a game that, you know, probably actually was at? And the way that he joined the football club, you know, you can now look back at with a really different perspective on, which is that he joined in quite a shady way, and you know, he's kind of circling behind a man like Mark Bonner, just waiting for the opportunity to come up. He's out of work. He's a manager. Like, it's obviously his prerogative, but it's not it's not a great way to do it. Obviously, he comes in, and you know, I guess you also have to kind of make the point that for the time that he was here, obviously not that long, not as long as we were expecting, I guess. He did a good job, and I think to his credit, has put us in a position where, you know, maybe the next few games aside, we're in a really good spot to kick on, hopefully, and try and consolidate our position in the division, which was kind of his job. Obviously, he's not the one that's seeing it through, but it's kind of there for someone else to do. And then, like, you get thinking about what he was like while he was here. And I'm thinking particularly in terms of things that he said when he joined, things that he said while he was manager in interviews, the way that he was acting, you know, things like the fist pumps, which obviously we've you know, talked about a lot. And you just think, like, what an actor. Like, because there's nothing in it at all. There's no it's just not real emotion. And, you know, he was talking a lot in his presser, and he was when he joined, and he was talking a lot with you guys on the pod that you did with him about the respect he's got for people like Paul Barry, like Graham Daniels, like Lawrence Bloom, for example, people that he's known for years going back, with obviously the exception of Paul Barry. And you're just like, none of it's real, is it? Like, none of it's true. And I'm not expecting him to have the connection to the football club that we've all got, obviously, because he, you know, why would he, frankly? But you got to conduct yourself with a bit more integrity and a bit more humility. And then you get thinking about the move itself and obviously what's happened in the last sort of 24, 48 hours. I use that time frame loosely because I think you can speculate quite fairly that this has been in the pipeline for a lot longer than we knew about it. And that begs the question of, when was that? Definitely before the game on Tuesday, undoubtedly. I know that the official approach came on Wednesday morning. Sorry, obviously something that the club statement pointed out, the very short, pointed club statement pointed out very well. But you don't have to be a genius to put two and two together and realise that this is something that he's been discussing behind the club's back. That's behind the back of his players, some of whom he's brought to the club very recently on the promise of being able to play football for him. Behind the back of the owner, who gave him a chance, having been sacked by a team in the lower leagues. And we can talk about how just that sacking was, but he was sacked by a League Two club and we gave him an opportunity to rebuild his career in League One. A chance he's taken very well, by the way. And you start thinking, like, firstly, and I'll go back to the word integrity again. Like, I'll accept maybe didn't know about it on Saturday, because presumably whatever Millwall's result on Saturday has influenced to some extent their decision to part company with their original manager and then obviously hire Harris. But for Tuesday night, he will have known. He shouldn't have taken the team. If he genuinely knew that he was going to be moving to Millwall, we're talking hours later, not days, you know, there's not talks to be done. It's done at that point. It's finished. He knows he's going. He should have resigned, or he shouldn't have taken the team. That's what he should have done. That's the right thing to do. And also, just to add on top of that, he's not even talking about a job vacancy. He's talking about someone else's job at that point. It's not even a vacant position. So he's done the dirty on not only Mark Bonner, presumably, but also on Joe Edwards. And you know, I don't know Joe Edwards. I'm not going to claim to know much about his career, but it's not the way that you should act, in my opinion. And then we move on to, like, when it's all confirmed and stuff. And the thing that kind of gets me most and kind of has got my goat a lot in the last few hours, Millwall fans aren't happy with it.
Yeah, this is a big thing, isn't it? Like, this club legend returning. You ever seen a fan that's so unhappy about a club legend returning?
I have. Liam O'Neill signing.
He might be on the dugout on Saturday. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, if this is the case of, like, a truly, you know, like a club legend returning to where, you know, obviously he is loved there and he's done some brilliant things at Millwall. But it's not the case that they're, like, desperate for him back. A lot of them are actively quite angry about it because they see this as the kind of pinpoint reflection of years of mismanagement of that football club in terms of the decisions they've made strategically on the football side of it. And that in itself, I think, is really telling of just the level of thought that's gone up to Neil Harris's side. We were talking the other night, Julian, about this, and you know what it is. Like, Harris has gone on to a loving relationship. He's got married. He's found the one. He's moved in. He's settled down. And then some ex that got rid of him years ago has called him up 3 a.m. and he's gone, yeah, let's just go for it.
So, some toxic relationship where all your mates are going, don't do it again, and he's done it anyway.
And then again, like, I'm kind of going through this chronologically, and I guess the next step then is, once it's announced, the opinions come out, people are talking about it. But him in his press conferences, I don't know, I might have missed something. Not a fucking word about us.
Nothing.
Not a single word. And I'm not expecting him to, you know, in like a Millwall press conference, be like, oh, I'm gutted to have left Cambridge. I'm not expecting that. But it might have been nice. I don't know. Like, you see managers release statements through the PFA all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, not the PFA, the managers, the LMA, sorry. The manager's equivalent of that. There's nothing stopping him from doing that. And I'm not asking him to you know, grovel. I'm just asking for, look, it's an opportunity that came up that I couldn't turn down. Obviously, I've enjoyed my time at the club. What I said, I kind of meant, but, you know, this obviously changes things. That'd be fine. And but he's not got it about him to do that. And then the other thing that's got me, and you can tell this is where
Barclays.
Yeah. And this is where shock obviously has turned into anger quite quickly, right? Is that now he's banging on about this promise that he made to the former chairman, like, years ago. The first thing I'd ask on this is, did the club know about it? Did Cambridge United Football Club know about it? Did Gillingham know about it? Did Cardiff know about it? Yeah. I suggest the answer to that is no, because I think if we knew that at the drop of a fucking hat, he'd have left the football club, I'm not sure we would have appointed him, or at least we would have put something in place to ensure it couldn't happen at his say-so and at Millwall's say-so, but we can control that to some extent. And the other thing is, don't start preaching loyalty. Don't start doing that. You've done the exact opposite. So, I think start to finish, it, you know, you can reflect on his time here and how it came about and what's happened since. And I just think it reflects really poorly on Neil Harris. And, you know, this is kind of a roundabout way of getting to where I was hoping to finish on this, which is, to be honest, fuck him. And I genuinely hope now, more than I did before, I hope it absolutely falls apart. Like, I hope Millwall will absolutely plummet, and you know, I've got no particular beef with Millwall, the worst football club I could pick beef with if I was going to pick one. Yeah, but yeah, like I hope he doesn't lose his job when they get relegated. I hope he loses it shortly afterwards after he gets a trip to the Abbey, because, you know, we're obviously going to talk about the posh game, and there's obviously a manager there that gets a lot of stick. Harris won't be long behind that, I don't think.
No way.
Because I think a lot of people are coming around to this sort of way of thinking. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just irrational. But I think he's fucked us over royally. He's put us in a really bad spot. And I hope he fails.
You're not the only one, Tom. There's a lot of angry people out there.
You're far from the only one. I actually would say, George, I don't know if you agree, that me and you might be the further end of the spectrum on the other way. Like, I think me and you, I've also gone into that second stage a little bit today. I think, to pick up on one point you made there in your brilliant little summary, Tom, well done, well scripted, is the point about him just, it's like he's just left and there's vanished into thin air. There's not been... Like, I know that your little iPhone notes are, like, derided a lot, but this is such an exceptional situation. And I mean that in terms of, you know, it's such a unique situation. Just like, if any of what he's been saying was genuine in any way, his respect, not just to us and, like, this connection to the city that he banged on about, and Graham Daniels and people at the club, all those people you mentioned, Lawrence Bloom, Barry Corr, people he's got connections with, if he's going to build his foundations as being a manager on those, like, sort of intangible passions and, like, knowing what it means to be Cambridge United and having that connection with the Terraces, then you can't just leave it at the drop of the hat, like you say, preach loyalty, and then not even be a single word, nothing, an iPhone notes, a 2-minute thing on the club's YouTube, just a little explanation, like you say, it's a simple thing.
Do you think there might be a reason for that? Do you think maybe, I don't know, someone's advised him against it, or Millwall have asked him not to, his agent,
surely it's
maybe
just
Cambridge.
Simple. Isn't that just simple, like, isn't that just manners? Isn't that just, like,
basic.
Thank you to Cambridge for the
basic.
Opportunity. I had to take this. You know, this means a lot to me. It's a shame that my time at Cambridge ended the way it did. Like, do you know what I mean? I could script it for you now in a minute. Just write it on your fucking tweet, something like this, Neil. I don't know, like, that's the thing. I think you're right, Tom, in that it's an indication of the measure of the man that hasn't happened.
Wanker.
There's another bleep for you.
George, I'll let you have a say now. I was wondering as well what you made of the whole situation, because obviously something I mentioned yesterday was me and you have that probably quite unique, not perspective, but experience of having sat opposite him. And I think my reaction today is I feel like a little bit like I've been used and abused.
How do I follow a good 10-minute Tom Walker monologue? All I would say is, in there, Tom makes a reference to an ex or an ex relationship. I just thought, don't ever cross Tom Walker. You know, don't, if you're going to date Tom Walker, don't cross him, because my dear. Anyway, do you know what? Like, what, 3 weeks ago, we had a lovely old afternoon above the Portland Arms. And as it came to an end, we had our photos, we shook our hands, and he went, lads, let's do this again in the summer, out here in the beer garden, have a pint. I'm just,
he said,
I'm
when
just
we stay
done.
Up, we'll have a beer out here, boys.
I'm just done with fuck boys.
And then we'll get a train to Bermondsey. And then we'll go Bermondsey, and then we'll really have it. How about that?
Where am I? Yeah, look, dismay, annoyance, disappointment, all those feelings that, you know, they've covered off in Tom's piece there, and you guys covered off in the emergency pod. Yeah, look, I'm really pissed off at the situation, pissed off at where it leaves us, because, you know, Tom's quite right. We're in a good position with, what, 6 points clear of the bottom four. And after this run of three games, we've got a good opportunity. We play some clubs that we could pick up points against. So it's, you know, we're not safe. So I'm pissed off that we've been put in a scenario where it's not a matter of fact of we're up and we can just think about rebuilding. Whoever's going to look at this job is going to say, actually, there is a kind of an immediate thing for me to do. And maybe that makes us less appealing. Who knows? So yeah, pissed off at that, pissed off at the situation, disappointed, you know, everything that he said and the longevity and the timing. And yeah, the one thing I would say though, around the loyalty bit, you know, not disputing anything that Tom and others have said on this topic, but I always pick this up, Julian, when we interviewed him and he talked about short, medium and long term. His medium and long term it wasn't particularly long term. It didn't feel like he was, you know, here
February.
Yeah, he wasn't here for the long haul. And I part of me at the time thought, oh, you know, that's probably just someone who's been around the block and is wise to football and knows that actually your time as a manager, it is quite rare that you get a long stint at a club, you know, Bonner beforehand, doing what, 4 odd years, whatever it was. That's kind of unique. I kind of thought it was that. I never thought that actually, you know, it would be him thinking, you know, I'm going to use this to step stone as quickly as I can. Like I hoped for him that he would, you know, keep us up this year and stabilize us next year and into a team that doesn't have a relegation scrap on our hands. And then that point, someone would go, do you know what? He's quietly done an all right job at Cambridge and then probably come in for him. And you know what? I wouldn't have any beef if someone came in for him who's a bigger League One club or a Championship club, because that's just how football goes. So yeah, all of those, mate, all of those.
I think, George, just to very quickly come in on that, like I know, it's not really the word loyalty that I'm kind of too fussed on here, because, like, you know, you've rightly said there, and I well understand that the lifetime of a football manager is naturally quite short and ever decreasing, I would suggest. It's why I was using the word integrity a lot, because I'm not, you know, I prefaced all of what I said with, I totally understand why he's made the move. It makes all rational sense. Let's be honest, it does. It's the way he's carried it out, and it's the fact that the club won't have known until it was in the media, basically, or very, very shortly before. And at that point, you know, all right, there might not have been ink drying on a piece of paper, but the move is done. And we've been left high and dry at a point where we don't need to be left high and dry, or shouldn't have been left high and dry. And that's what I'm frustrated about. It's the integrity. It's the way he went about it. Lack of integrity. It's not the fact that he's made the move, because you know what? If it was me, I probably would have done the same thing.
I think the integrity bit, and you mentioned this earlier, don't take the game on Tuesday. That really ties in for me.
That really ties in for me
because one of the things that was said, and I don't know how true this is, was apparently he'd said his goodbyes on Tuesday. So if you're saying, you know, you said there, oh, the club wouldn't have known until Wednesday, surely they would have known if he goodbye to people.
It would have been Tuesday at the very latest. I wouldn't be surprised if he knew on Saturday evening, because Millwall, I presume, lost at the weekend, as they've been quite prone to doing recently. They'll have made their minds up then. Like, they'll have made their minds up that they wanted to sack their manager. They've been, oh, I wonder what Neil's up to. Oh, he's just got a new job. He's probably not interested. Yeah, so that's where we're at. But yeah, I agree with obviously a lot of what you said.
The bit that you said earlier on about him doing a good job, I've been thinking about that. I sort of come back to it. You know, I think he did what was needed, right? He was sort of he steadied the ship and he's got a good amount of points, but I don't know. He's done an all right job. I wonder if there's a part of that that kind of makes me, obviously I'm bothered, and I'm bothered for all the reasons I said, all the reasons you said, but there's maybe a little element of me that's like, do you know what? It's not been that amazing. You know, we might touch on the Bolton game in a bit, and I think there are questions around how he set us up there. We've talked a lot about use of subs and style and this, that and the other, and this is in no way meant to be a justification or something like that, but like, I don't know how sold I was on him sort of longer term. I think he's steadied the ship. I think he's done the right job. It was the right appointment after Bonner. But I don't know. There's part of me that's kind of comes back to that. Not sure he was in it for the long run. That kind of makes it a little bit. No, blasé.
Sure. But I think if you look at, like, you know, the sort of, if you're trying to like build this house of Cambridge United in the long term, like, the bricks that were Neil Harris might be like a short amount of bricks, but they were crucial, and he would have kept this up this year. Like, I think that's as much as we can all agree on, right? Which is fundamentally the aim of not just him for this season, but this season entirely. Like, if you go back to the summer, that's what we were all saying. That's what would have been asked of Mark Bonner. So fundamentally, you know, it would have been a success in the same way that last season was, because we stayed up, right? So I take your point, and I think in the sort of medium term, if you look at, you know, an 18-month contract, so maybe you look at like next season, it would have been really interesting to see what, because I don't think we ever really saw a Neil Harris squad. I think we saw, you know, like the signings of Taylor being maybe a good example, and like I think him building a squad here would have been a really interesting thing to see, because he's built good squads before in the past. But that's obviously a question we're never going to get answered. And I think fundamentally, like, the job he was doing was okay. We're 2 points better off than when he found us.
Yeah.
15 games left in the season. If he did what was asked of him, right?
He got some players that were not performing for Bonner to perform.
Yeah.
You know, look at Kai Kai over the last few weeks, and how, you know, how big Kai Kai might be on Saturday against Borough is another talking point. Like, he has improved performances, and he's got points, and yeah, he's made some good signings. We spoke about this. I wonder if January maybe put something in his mind. I know it wouldn't have been a reason for him to leave. He would never have turned down the Millwall offer because of his connection to it. But there's a part of me that does question, like, what he was saying in January about getting people through the door. I wonder I wonder if the ill feeling started there. Adding that into Tom's sort of timeline a little bit.
I actually, the way I'm viewing it is, I don't think this is anything to do with us. It's as simple as Millwall have come calling. And Tom's right about the way he's gone around about that. But I think his motivation is actually nothing based on us. People have talked about, you know, mate, he didn't want the risk of another League One relegation. I think he's confident enough. We'd have stayed up. We would have done with him. And I think Millwall come knocking and he answered. And Tom made a great point there, Tom, about, like, has he always had this in the back of his head? He knew that this was going to come one day in one job. Like, did he tell Gillingham, did he tell Graham Daniels that this was going to be a possibility? That it was something that was as simple and as cut and dry as that. So, tell you one thing, I bet you'll see Gassan Ahadmi rock up at the Den this summer after finishing a loan spell with us, because that was another player that you got a bit of juice out of. Do you know another thing that I wanted to talk about? Tom, you mentioned it there, you know, like, he shouldn't have taken the game Tuesday. How do you feel about his post-match comments? Because he's done
that's
the presses.
Weird.
It's weird, George. Like, it's really, really weird, because I mentioned it yesterday, and yeah, fine, I'm not saying that he has to come out and say, you know, I'm probably going to leave for Millwall tomorrow, but don't give
tone it down. Tone it down just a
tone
touch.
Tone it down, like, not touch. Tone it down loads. Just say, yeah, it's a big game Saturday. It's a derby for the club. Like, don't. He's giving it he's giving it, like, we've got to go at it with passion and stuff.
Send Barry Corr out to do it.
Yeah. Just make an excuse. Send Barry. You're going to be gone in 24 hours. You know that as well as anyone. Like you say, George, like, and also Barry Corr says in his, I just watched the presser for Saturday, and he says that he didn't find out until after the game on Tuesday.
That's someone, you know, we're talking about people he had relationships going back a long way with. That's someone he'll have known for like a decade more. And, you know, if you're willing to kind of put someone like that in the position that he's now in, then yeah, like you kind of have to question his character, unless he sees, you know, Millwall as this kind of footballing mecca, which is like, you know, you do anything to get to, you know, you kill your own nan to get an opportunity to go and to step foot inside the Den. You know what it kind of reminds me of is post-match on Tuesday. You know that scene in Alan Partridge when he has to like wind down his production company, and he like sacks everyone when he's like locked in a room. He's like, I'm just gonna do what I need to do, and then I'll scuttle off like another time. Bit like that, obviously not exactly the same.
not as funny.
Yeah, it's just like, and I know it's only a little thing, and it's something that Caspel mentioned on the pod yesterday, but like the way he treat Matt Ramsey, it's like,
yeah,
he's kind of throwing his weight around to people who he
justice for Ramsey, man.
And I mentioned this as well. It actually goes back to the Leyton Orient game. I think it was when he absolutely chucked John Kimani Gordon under the bus. And it's like, obviously that's just a very easy thing to do, but now it just looks quite low. It just looks like quite an easy sort of jibe at someone. And obviously he wasn't kind of big enough or bold enough to talk in that sort of manner on like an official club channel, which is again, we're going to say the phrase, a measure in a man. But yeah, comments are very weird, to be honest with you. They're right, by the way, like they're accurate comments, but it sounds very weird from someone who knew he was who knew he was off.
Who would have literally just walked from the changing room where he said goodbye to the players. It's just really odd behaviour. And I think, like you say, it's indicative of probably a wider thing with him. How do you think the players are feeling, George?
Someone mentioned this on the message board, that Macaulay Bonn has been signed twice this season by Harris to go and play for him, and twice he's been separated.
Someone said he's played a total of like 13 games for him or something over the course of the season.
It's weird. I was talking about this with someone and they said, oh, you know, I'm worried about the impact on morale and stuff like that. I hope that the players are sort of looking at it more like, do you know what? He's had an offer from a bigger club. Let's think about that. Let's not think about he's said one thing to us and then left. But obviously that is a hard thing to sort of just write off, especially, you know, some of the key players that he's brought in. So I don't know. It's a mixed bag, the squad, isn't it? Because obviously a lot of them were there pre-Harris and Barry Corso telling in his presser earlier, which I don't know if he meant, but said something about, you know, compared to when Bonner left and there was the relationship, it's not quite like that for most of the dressing room now. So I really, really hope, and I hope I'm not being naive saying this, but I'm hoping that the dressing room's got kind of a defiance amongst it, you know, to say, what, let's go out and prove a point, and what better occasion to do it than against your biggest rival. I'm also interested, like, I wonder if appealing the red card, which got announced today, I wonder if that is a response to kind of everything that's gone on. And it's like, well, you were brought here by Neil Harris, you've got that connection, you go back years, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if sort of appealing that is kind of sort of trying to cozy up to Lyle Taylor a bit and say, do you know what? You're one of us. We believe your story. Let's appeal this thing. Even though I think it's a mad thing to do, for the record, but yeah.
I love that Barry's excuse is like, he's trying to get in front of him. Barry's elbowed him. Doesn't matter what he's trying to do.
What about the kick and then the punch after that, Barry?
Actually, just to comment on that, and obviously I know you've touched on the Bolton game there, Jord. I wanted to bring this up. it is something that you guys mentioned on the pod yesterday, so I hope I'm not just kind of repeating what's already been said. But Julian, I was looking through my phone and I was looking at the text I sent you. And yeah. I'm just gonna read them out here. 10:28 on the Lyle Taylor red card. It's genuinely the worst thing that could have happened. And then I text you 1 minute later, said, I cannot think of anything else that could happen tonight. It would be worse than that. So that's at 10:29, yeah. I reckon there's a good chance that at the exact point I was typing out and then sending those text messages, he was saying goodbye to his players.
I had someone at work today came up to me and went, good result for you boys at the weekend. I sort of just looked at him as if he's taking a piss. I was like, since then we've lost our quiz. Striker and lost our manager. He's like, I didn't see that.
Like absolute, like a different season. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, it's half eight on a Thursday night. It's what, 48 hours ago we would have been 1-0 up half time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mad.
13th in the league. Like,
basically safe.
Yeah.
I had this thing with a couple of guys that I stand with where I was like, do you know what? This run of four games of Bolton twice, Stevenage and Borough, we're winning one of those games. We're definitely winning one of those games. I felt really bullish about it. And I think Lyle Taylor was one of the reasons I felt like that. And a half time at Bolton, I was like, oh, I didn't think it'd be this early that I was right.
Right. Any last words on Harris? I think we should probably put that chapter to bed, that short lived.
I still want our summer tour.
Yeah. Well,
whoever's taking over,
he drop out.
I have some expectations.
He's going to be there with Millwall wherever we go. It's going to be fucking naughty. All right. Look, I think we should sort of draw a line under that.
An hour in, barely even mentioned what's coming on Saturday.
Yeah, what's coming on Saturday, or the fact that we played a game on Tuesday night, which hasn't been spoken about at all yet. But let's touch on that quickly before we get into Saturday. Obviously, lost 2-1 on Tuesday night with Neil Harris in the dugout. Let's start with the red card, which has been mentioned. Tom, views on it?
I mean, I don't know whose decision it was to appeal it. And look, I might be sat here looking rather foolish in, this time tomorrow, and that's fine. And people might be listening to this thinking, oh, brilliant, we've got Lyle Taylor back for Saturday. No, I mean, it's an absolutely definite red card. There's no two questions about it. The only thing that I can think of the reason why we've decided to appeal this, there must be some sort of little technicality, like maybe they've given the red card for something that hasn't happened or something like that.
It was the fourth official, wasn't it, that sort of got involved? It didn't look like the lino or the ref were giving it. That's the angle they're going at, or
the linesman didn't flag for much all evening, to be honest with you. But particularly for that, he didn't like give anything. He didn't make any indication that he'd seen something. And there's obviously three parts to it, aren't there? There's obviously the toss with Idel, which starts with Lyle Taylor elbowing the guy. Then they're on the floor and he kicks out. And then when they're stood up, sort of confronting each other, he sort of grabs him, and it looks like he either has grabbed him or he's gone to grab him by the throat. I think all three of those things are a red card offence, every single one.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I was half thinking, like, I mean, I'm sure we won't appeal it, and I was kind of more worried about how many games they were going to add on to the three match ban that he would have already had. So look, I mean, and I will caveat this as well by saying I mentioned to you guys, I think if there's any chance that he can be available on Saturday, then we will appeal it. If there's any chance of happening at all, I don't believe the club would have appealed this unless they think it had a realistic chance of being overturned. So there must be something that I don't know about, or that I've not picked up on, or that we've not picked up on, because I think we're all a little bit confused. But yeah, look, it's a red card, and in that moment, you just felt things started to turn a little bit, didn't you? You just thought, oh my God, what's going to happen here? And if only we knew.
aside from that, George, there was also a game of football. What, Bolton just too classy in the end?
Oh, mate, yeah, look, the right team won, didn't they? I think we played well to an extent, and we gave a good go against a good team, but we just weren't, for me, we weren't strong enough at the most crucial point of the game. And that was, you know, that 20 minutes after the restart from half time. I was really surprised by how quick and how fast Bolton came at us, and what the goal came from, like, what, the third, fourth corner in a row. I think maybe that was a bit of a shock for the team. I thought they might have, and maybe they weren't expecting it to happen as quick as that. But yeah, I thought we played well on the counter. I thought for periods of the first half, we were quite untroubled at the back. I thought both fullbacks had really solid games, which is good going into Saturday, given how good Peterborough are on the out wide. Just wasn't strong enough at the key points. And although we got back into it after they went 2-1 up, but, you know, a couple of bad misses from people like Lancaster, and maybe we could have got something from the game, but I think maybe would have been a little bit unfair on Bolton if they left with only the points. So I'm not too despondent until, like, the red card. You know, I would have happily taken a defeat and gone into Saturday with our star striker a little bit rested and ready to prove a point. So yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I think me and Tom were talking about it. Like, you'd sort of, if I'd have given you the option of losing 5-0, but you've got Taylor for Saturday, or lose 2-1, but no Taylor for Saturday. And not just Saturday, obviously, the other three games.
How are you feeling about the fact that it is Bonn for the next three games?
Not great, mate. How are you feeling about it?
he had a tough night on Tuesday, didn't he?
He had a tough night. I think it was plowing a bit of a lone furrow against some big centre halves.
The one that went off injured is massive. Absolutely huge. Massive. Yeah,
not hugely confident. I think Bonn seems like the sort of player that needs his confidence back, needs that sort of goal scoring touch back a little bit. And I just wonder if, like, games like this are the ones. Yeah. But look, he's also scored a lot of goals throughout his career. He's an experienced player. We're not talking about a young sort of inexperienced loanee or anything like this.
Here's a naive happy clapper take for you. Maybe the run in the team is what he's needed, right? Because he's barely played since joining. He's been second fiddle. So maybe the run's what he needs. But
if he's the sort of, you know, natural competitor that getting being a really good like League One goal scoring striker should be, he should look at this as like the biggest opportunity he's ever had, really, to like completely reignite his career. I know that's probably taking it a few steps too far, but you know, you think if he has a good couple of games here.
Look, if he wants to secure that move to Millwall in the summer, he needs to start getting some goals, right?
He won't need to score, mate. Don't worry. Harris will be on the phone to him already. So Bond's big game Saturday for Bond. Big game for us. Tom, let's get on to this. It's been a few months since that game at London Road. Have you recovered from that?
Not really. Let's just say it was quite a scarring afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm getting like flashbacks. Like, you know, when you see like films about like, the Vietnam War and stuff, like, you weren't there, man. You weren't there. That was quite the afternoon at London Road. I mean, I will say, like, on the game on Saturday, you know, obviously it's one that emotions kind of run high in, and you know, with everything that's happened in the last couple of days, like obviously from our side at least, they've been all over the place, I guess, collectively as a fan base. But I will say that I feel more positive at the moment about this game on Saturday than I have done probably since the moment the red card came out for Lyle Taylor. And I think, like, George, you were talking about how the Harris departure can be channeled in the squad. And I think, like, I would like to think the messaging from Cora is just kind of like, just forget about him. Like, you know, as a fan base, like, you know, I've obviously had my opportunity to cry arse and whinge about what's happened. But now, like, after this, like, just draw a line under it. He's gone. Yeah. He didn't want to be here. He's, you know, you lot presumably, at least to some extent, hopefully, want to be here. And Saturday's a game where, you know, you mentioned there as well, I made a good point. Macaulay Bond, like, you're struggling for goals. Like, your career's been tricky in the last couple of years. This is your moment. Go make yourself a hero. Guys like Morrison, this will mean everything to.
Morrison's got a huge role to play here, I think, as well. Not just as sort of like a guy with experience at this club, but also obviously the captain, in exactly what you're saying, Tom. It's not all on Barry Corr, right? There's leaders in that squad that also will have been in tricky situations before, in tricky dressing rooms when maybe not exactly things like this have happened, but they need to take the mantle here and go, look, this is an opportunity for us more than anything.
Well, just on that, in November, it was the leaders on the pitch that let us down, right? You know, the way we responded to the first goal going in and quickly to find ourselves 2-3 behind, that was your point where you're looking and you're thinking, how Ryan Bennett, Michael Morrison, you know, all these experienced people that have played higher than this, how have they let this happen? How have they let us sort of just completely fall apart? So I'm just wondering, on Saturday, you know, in the mix of everything else that's gone on this week, if there are people in the camp, people like Jack Stevens, who are thinking back to that game going, do you know what? That, you know, I'm a bit haunted by that. I really want to prove a point. And you know, I don't want to single Stevens out, but I just remember after the warm-up, I loved this. He warmed up right in front of us, if you remember, and he just sort of did that whole gearing up motion to the crowd. He was like well up for it. And then obviously he went car crash straight after that. But I'm wondering if there are people that are like thinking about how that Saturday went and wanting to correct it. But then at the same time, perhaps I'm being a romantic because, you know, it's my club and I hate this team that we're about to play. And that's how I would be thinking. And in reality, they're probably sat there thinking, you know what, it's just a job. It's just another game.
That's true. That's true. And you're right. And I think what we've learned this week, and I think what's scarring us all, is like any sort of apparent loyalty that this game might offer up is like clearly in the vast majority of it is completely non-existent and fake and disingenuous, or at least that's probably, you know, we're all sort of hurting a little bit from that element of this now. But I do think like on Saturday, games like that, you've got to remember how competitive every single one of those players are. And maybe they don't care that much about Cambridge United versus Peterborough, but they do care about winning football matches. And I think if they're united as a squad, if they have that sort of unity within each other, them, like, this is a big game for them to prove to people that they are, do you know what I mean? That they are a squad that is, I guess, united and like. But I also think that we also have a part to play in that. Like, we as fans, like, that stadium has to be rocking Saturday from the warm-ups. Like, it has to be not necessarily in an intimidating way, in like a every we've got to show this moment of like, this football club is absolutely together. That's my little Braveheart moment anyway, but that's so honestly, that is the way I think about it.
I think I think it's a good point to make, and I think maybe the reason I'm feeling confident, or not confident but better about this than I have done maybe the last couple of days, and again, this might look truly, truly naive come sort of 2-3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But like, I think if you look back to last season, on both occasions, I know we lost the game at their place, but very, very narrow margins. And obviously, I think we were the better team there. And you know, obviously we were quite considerably the better team at the Abbey, and obviously won that game. Like, this is a game that, because of everything that sits between the two clubs in terms of resources and the sort of squads that they've got, you know, we've each got available, it's kind of a game that we're only ever going to win on emotion and only ever going to win on kind of wanting it more. Yeah. That's not to say that there aren't things that, you know, Barry Corr can do, you know, in terms of tactics and setup and try and negate some of their strengths and try and exploit some of their weaknesses. Obviously, that's all still true and all still relevant. But I kind of think with everything that's happened, like, Corr's job when he came in, well, what, 2 months ago for that Fleetwood game, I think it was a lot harder than this. Despite the fact we were playing objectively worse opposition in an objectively less important game, like, that was really difficult because a club legend had just departed the football club. There was a lot of division amongst the fan base at that point. Saturday's totally different. Like, I think everyone is kind of on the same page here that, look, we've been through it in the last like 48 hours, much more so than we probably have been for years. And it's all been concentrated into a couple of really, really heated things, you know, with Lyle Taylor sending off and then obviously Harris going. And it's like, if ever there was a game for emotion to win and ever there was a game for emotion to rule over everything, this is it. And I believe wholeheartedly it comes down to the fact of, can we use that in the right way? And if, you know, key players can channel it in the right sort of way, there's got to be a bit of pride on the line as well. You know, you mentioned very, very fairly about the key players letting themselves down at London Road, which they did. And look, I think, I can't remember exactly what my feelings were going into the home game last season, but I think it was kind of similar. It's like, look, we're playing a really good team here. Like, forget the badge, forget the people associated with it. Like, they're clearly a very, very good football team and capable of hurting teams at this level. But maybe we just might want it a bit more. Maybe there might just be a bit more fight in us than maybe there might have been otherwise. But
you're right. You're right. That's how we won it last season. We wanted it more. And your mate, Julian, in the preview said just as much. It was that apparent in the away end. That's what won it on the day.
Let's not go as far as mate. I mean, it's just...
I don't know. I heard you small talk. You like that.
I think this is spot on, though. And I think it's the sort of thing that, like, everyone listening to this pod, like, we all have a little part to play in it if we're at the Abbey. Just to... Like, this has to be a moment where, like, maybe we've all been let down by someone, right? Regardless of the reasons that Neil Harris left, like, we as Cambridge United, as a football club, as fans and as players, have all been let down one way or another. And that's the unifying thing that we can use in what is our biggest game of the season anyway, before all of this. So let's use it to our advantage. Let's play it on the intangibles. Let's play it on our terms. Let's listen to a posh fan then that you mentioned. This is Harry from Up the Posh Spaces giving us a bit of a preview of the game. All right, then, news fans, I'm joined by Harry here from Up the Posh Spaces. Managed to get me to say that within the first few minutes, so that's good. Harry, how are you, mate?
I'm well, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure, mate. Obviously, a few months since the news and the Posh last met in the Cambridgeshire Derby. That was not an afternoon for us to remember. Since then, how's your season gone?
Well, it was going from strength to strength until recently. I mean, although we beat Blackpool in the EFL trophy the other night, before that, we've had four losses and one draw in the last five games, including four consecutive losses. So it's, you know, we've got to get the season back on track from our perspective, given that we were knocking on the door of maybe even winning the league. We're now sixth, which... look, before the season, we'd be very happy with that. But we know that this team is actually capable of a lot more than we thought at the beginning of the year. And with any luck, we can kickstart our season again on Saturday.
Is it so in general, has this season just been above expectation for what you were expecting pre-season?
Well above. I mean, we lost that playoff semi-final to Sheffield Wednesday, and we expected Johnson Clark-Harris to be out the door. He's obviously double Golden Boot winner. Ronnie Edwards to be out the door, who's our England under-20s captain, centre-back. We expected Jack Taylor out the door, who was our sort of best midfielder, and probably others as well, with little hope of replacing any of them. And what's actually ended up happening is, yeah, Jack Taylor went to Ipswich, but Ronnie stayed, Clark Harris stayed. We've managed to get in Archie Collins from Exeter, who's been fantastic and really grown into the system. A nifty midfielder. You know, he can't be taller than about 5'8", 5'9", but just really knows how to pass so well. And two players who were not stars last year in Hector Kyprianou and Joel Randall. Kyprianou played plenty, but you wouldn't call him a star of the team. These two have now completely broken out this season. And for that reason, the whole squad's spine is actually so much better than we expected, with Ronnie, Kyprianou, Collins, Randall. And as it happens, Clark Harris actually hasn't been in the side much, and it's been Ricky J. Jones up top mostly. And yeah, well above expectations.
So what's gone wrong then recently? What's this little runabout, and what's the sort of mood like amongst the fan base? Because it seems like a bit of a drop off from that all conquering side that we faced back at London Road in October or whenever it was.
There's one easy thing to point to, which is that we had on loan from Rotherham a player called Peter Chioso at right back, and his ability to link up on that right side with Kwame Poku was one of the key reasons why we were doing so well. And he's gone back to Rotherham. He went back on the 2nd of Jan straight after the Derby game, which we won on Sky. And we didn't immediately start losing, but once it dawned on us that he really wasn't coming back, we were all hoping that we'd sign him permanently. We've had to fill in with a different loanee from Man City, Jadon Katongo, who is a centre-back by trade. And him playing at right-back, don't get me wrong, he's not been terrible by any means. But is he as dynamic as Chioso was? No. He's still having to learn that role. And I think that's definitely a large part of it. Some of it was just a bit of bad luck. I mean, Blackpool, the game at home that we lost 2-1 to a last-minute offside goal, was pretty tough to take. And our keeper let us down against Wickham away. It wasn't so much performance, even though we weren't great that day. We were good in spells. Our keeper made literally three clangers, and we lost 5-2. You know, without those errors, we'd have drawn. So some of it's not easy to explain. A bit of it's the right back. Yeah, as I say, hopefully a dip that's over now.
If you were compiling a scout report on Posh, I was going to say if you were the Cambridge manager, but I mean, that's sort of a tougher question to answer than...
Hey, I could be by Saturday at this rate. Who knows?
what would be the weakness, do you think? Would it be that right-hand side? Is that where you think that there might be a bit of joy in attacking? Or if not, where would it be?
It's a really good question. What are our weaknesses? I mean, yes, to a certain extent, the right side. But I say that more from an attacking sense. You know, you probably don't have to worry about the right side as much as the left side. Burrows on the left side with Mason Clark are just so, so good. I think Burrows has created the most chances of any player in League One from left back. Wow. And Mason Clark, it got his move to Coventry. He's back with us on loan. He's arguably the best winger in League One. I mean, answer your question properly. What's the weakness? Yes, the right side to a certain extent, you need to worry about as much, I would say. And then we're not as good. You know, Ricky J. Jones has been our striker, and he does miss good chances. You might be able to actually take the risk a little bit of playing a bit of a higher line, which might help you compared to what happened at London Road earlier in the year, when I think you did play relatively deep. You could take the risk. As fast as he is, he does miss easy chances. And even if he breaks through one-on-one, honestly, I hate to say it, but there's probably an over 50% chance he won't score it. He's still finding his feet as a striker. He's always been a left winger up till this season. Perhaps I should have mentioned that. So, yeah, that's how you exploit us, probably. Play a bit higher, be a bit braver. All of our keepers have an error in them. Jed Steer, who's replaced Bilic Hapic, who was in goal when we played you last, is too aggressive coming out. So if you put a ball over the top, he may well try and come for it and miss it. And that's happened twice this season already. And Bilic Hapic, really good at saves, but his work with the ball at his feet is terrible. But we play like that. We get our keepers to pass out from the centre-backs. And we must be on 5 or 6 error goals from the ball at his feet this season, which is part of the reason why he got dropped for Jester. Yeah, there you go. I'm giving you your master plan.
There's the keys. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned a couple of names there, but like the flip side of that, and you've got sort of an embarrassment of riches, I guess, but who are the key players to watch? I assume it's the either winger.
Yeah, yeah. Mason Clark and Poku are both, without a doubt, championship level players. It wouldn't surprise me if Poku goes in the summer as well. Let me, because they're kind of the obvious ones, and I'm sure your fans already know about them. They'll already know about Ronnie Edwards. I would say that the one to look out for is Hetz Kyprianou, just because he's doing both sides so well, as in defensively and offensively so well. He scored a few goals this season, mops up really well defensively, and getting him to have a bad day is actually probably more important than having Poku and Mason Clark be off the boil, because chances are at least one of them will be, even if the other isn't. But if Hector Kyprianou is on it, then that's how we play, is the recycling of the ball on the ground, the rapid transitions forward when we want to. It's all about where he is on the pitch and how he makes that happen. Not, you know, completely in isolation, but he's a very large part of it.
So with Saturday specifically, how do you expect Ferguson will set you up, and how do you think he'll try and attack the game? How do you think he'll approach it?
I think he will be as aggressive as possible. I think that we'll play pretty high up. I think that we will try and put Ricky in. I think Ricky will be chasing down your centre-backs from minute one. And that, of course, has its risks. But I think he might have learned as well, to a certain extent, from this time last year, where obviously we lost 2-0. And I think we were pretty... were you there that day? Because I was. And, you know, there was not a single spell of even 5 minutes where I thought Posh were on top in that game. Cambridge wanted it more that day. And I think he's going to want to set us out as full on as possible from minute one, to try and instill a bit more fear and a bit more confidence in our own players. Yeah, that's how I see him going about it.
And what's your prediction? Do you think he'll do it?
I do. I think it would be a little bit more interesting if you still had your manager and Lars Taylor was playing.
Don't remind me, mate. That's less.
yeah. It couldn't have been a worse, you know, it's, in a way, it's a bit of a shame, because I prefer these guys being both sides putting their absolute best in, right? And being on their front foot as much as possible. But with the noise around what's going on with you guys, and you know, it's not, hopefully you don't find it rude for me to say, we are better on paper than you are. I would expect it to probably be maybe a 2-1 win. Posh, we do, I would say this, we almost always concede a goal. I know we didn't against you guys earlier in the year, but I can see it being both teams to score. I'll say that much.
Okay, right. I'll take that.
yeah. Kai Kai's been playing well, hasn't he?
Kai Kai has been playing well, but interestingly, like, maybe his deficiency is maybe defending. So if your left hand side is your strongest side, it'd be interesting to see where he ends up playing. But look, I mean, after, I think we're all a bit scarred after the game down at London Road, and I think we were all up for a bit of a derby, like a proper derby, like you say. And it's been some week for the U's. But anyway, look, we've got to get up for it one way or another. Harry, thank you so much for joining us, and obviously I don't wish you any luck for Saturday or the rest of the season, but
understandable. Cheers, Jules.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Can I make a point about Harry from, what's it, Up the Spaces or whatever it is?
Up the Posh Spaces, yeah.
Up the Posh Spaces. Came across lovely in the interview, and thank you for doing it. But I remember November, just before the trip to London Road, this fella wanted one of us to come and do a Twitter live event on a Friday night. What a mentalist.
Yeah, like, I know. Who's even listening to that?
I don't do anything on a Friday night because I've got a toddler, but I still wouldn't want to do that.
No, it's crazy.
Thanks for coming on the pod though, Harry.
Thank you very much, Harry, for that. Obviously a fair bit of confidence, as you might expect. He's gone for a 2-1 win. Tom, where's your head at?
See, the thing is, I've just said how I'm feeling a lot better about this than I ever have done for the last few days. I've now kind of got to back this up in some way, I guess. This is probably head versus heart stuff, this, isn't it? Because I was saying to you the other night as well, after Harris left, like, just picture it. You just won the derby.
I can see it.
I was trying of circumstances. Lyle Taylor's come back. His red card's somehow been rescinded, despite potential ABH on Jack Iredale the other night. He scored the winner last minute in front of the NRA. Barry Corr. Can't.
Fist bumps.
Yeah. Look, goes to fist pump, then just like, no, not going to do it. That was good though, wasn't it?
Fist pumps that you believe this time, right?
Yeah,
and
as soon as
you have that thought in your head, it's very, very hard to get out of your head. And that's a difficult thing. Look, my head tells me we're going to lose and lose quite heavily. But my heart just tells me there might be a chance. And I think it was probably a similar conversation this time last year. You just got to pack us. The Abbey, and I would like to think our good friend Liam Campbell will be listening. He always says it, the Abbey, when it's needed, it delivers.
Mm,
think of all those true. Times. Think of Stevenage. Think of Halifax. Think of the last
Man
day
United.
Of the season. Man United.
Mm.
When the Abbey needs a result, the Abbey gets a result. So let's see what happens. I mean, that'll be clipped, I imagine, and shared around on social media on Sunday. But yeah,
don't worry, I'll do it. I'll do that for you, mate. I'll throw you under the bus. I'm sort of with you, Tom. I've got a 2-1 win in my head. I've got like a second half rousing comeback of some description in my head. George, where are you sat with it?
I don't think it'll be a heavy defeat like Tom mentions there. And I'm basing that off of a Tuesday night because I know it's not as simple as saying, oh, Bolton are a better team and that wasn't a heavy defeat. But I don't know. We've not been turned over as much in recent times. So hopefully I'm not jinxing it by saying that. Do you know what? I'll join in the positivity. I won't go as far as a win, but I will throw in a Brophy goal. I'll go 2-2. Similar to like the Ipswich at home game, you know, quite early in our first League One season. Brophy goal. Come from behind late.
Brophy goal. You've lost your mind, mate.
You must give me the number of your crystal meth dealer, Jordan.
You know Swindle.
Let's stop that there because I could get very bad.
Just quickly, lads, is there anything you think he might do lineup wise beyond the? I mean, I think Gibbons might play ahead of Liam Bennett potentially, just to potentially a bit more sort of experience down that right hand side.
Was it their left hand side is arguably their better side? So yeah,
Burrow and Mason Clark. Yeah,
I think that's a good shout. I can't see many other changes other than that. I'm still not sold on the whole Digby Cousins. Kachunga is that kind of free.
Mm.
I don't think he's going to drop Kachunga and put someone like a Thomas or a Lancaster in that role. So I think it will be, yeah, pretty much like you're saying there. It's a similar lineup to Tuesday, but Gibbons right back.
An interesting one I was thinking about, but someone who hasn't played football in since the start of the year really is Okadina, because I know that their striker Ricky J Jones, Harry mentions there, is a winger turned striker and he's very quick. He does say you can like give him chances and play a higher line. So I wonder if, I mean, it's maybe a bit of a bold move, like playing someone who's slightly quicker than maybe Ryan Bennett, just to have a bit of sort of cover in that respect. But it's not something I'm advocating. It's just something I'm potentially suggesting I could see him tinker with. But do we think Macaulay Bond leading the line then?
Unless the panel in charge of deciding whether appeals are successful or unsuccessful have absolutely lost their mind, I think it probably will be Macaulay Bond. Yeah, and like I said earlier, go make yourself a hero. Because this is it. This is it, isn't it?
Big game, lads. What a week. I think we all need a big lie down before Saturday, don't we? Thanks for joining, Tom, and brilliant speech at the start there. I'll have to clip it up for
Churchillian.
Yeah, it really was.
George, speaking of assholes.
George, always a pleasure.
I still would have preferred it if it was just you and I, mate. I've missed date night. Tom's tried, but it's not the same.
Next month, mate, and next month when I schedule it in, I'll make sure it's like just before some other big bombshell drops on the club, so someone else has to join as well. It's me, Tom, and Casper doing the review show on Sunday. That will be released on Monday. We've also got the mailbag coming out next week and a special pod. So lots of pods coming out at the moment. So make sure you subscribe to UTAS.
More pods than managers, mate.
More pods than managers. Many more. Make sure you subscribe to UTAS wherever you get your pods, on Spotify, Apple. Subscribe to our website, www.undertheaverstand.com. Lots of written features going up on there every day. You'll never miss one. So thanks very much for listening, everyone.